Jesus' mother and brothers stood outside, waiting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside, wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears and have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. And we'll do that later.
There we are. Cliffhanger. Well, as I gather my thoughts, why don't you discuss with a neighbour that question at the top of your sheets. What do you do if you're not convinced someone is listening to you? What do you do if you're not convinced someone is listening to you? 30 seconds, go. Okay, let me interrupt your conversations. Just a quick shout out. Any top tips? This will be particularly helpful for husbands here listening. What do you do if you're not convinced someone's listening to you?
Say something ridiculous and see if it gets a reaction.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Lucy does that with me. Rhubarb, rhubarb, rhubarb. What? Any others?
Stop talking.
We've got a... That's a good one, yeah. Yeah, I talk a lot rather than listen. With Henry, we say, "Henry, where are your listening ears?" And that's kind of what Jesus is doing for us here. Why don't I pray that the Lord would give us listening ears? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this chance to dig deep into your word. Thank you for the element of surprise in what we're about to look at. We pray that it would help us to listen. But not just that, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would help these words come alive in our hearts and get us excited about you. In your name. Amen.
Amen.
I wonder what you think people might say, or what you might say, but if you went out onto the streets in Fulham and just asked someone who might know a tiny bit about Jesus and asked them, "Why do you think Jesus told stories?" I wonder what you think they would say. My guess is they'd say things like, "I suppose to make deep truths simple and clear," or "simple stories for simple people." Well, we're going to find out in this passage why Jesus told stories, why he told what are called parables. And just go to verse 1 of chapter 13. We'll come back to that little bit at the end of chapter 12, there on your sheets. That same day, it says, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake, or the massive sea of Galilee. That same day, this is the same day, we're told in chapter 12, that Jesus healed all who were sick or ill. So no wonder we get verse 2. You see verse 2? Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. I mean, just imagine if you were one of Jesus' closer followers and you'd be thinking, this is your big moment, Jesus. You have now attracted massive crowds. Tell them what they need to hear. Come on, Jesus. We're really excited. Then verse 3. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And then we're told in Luke that he shouted out, whoever has ears, let them hear. End of story. We know that's the end because of verse 10. The disciples came to him. So he's finished and it's time for the people to come up and ask him some questions. Now, again with your neighbour, just discuss for 30 seconds. What would those verses 3 to 8, tell you about God if it was the only thing you heard? Just discuss with your neighbour. What does it tell you about God? Okay, I don't think I need to give you long. Anyone want to shout out?
Nothing.
Nothing. It doesn't mention God. So Jesus has just given them some perhaps realistic expectations about farming. So is it any surprise that we get verse 10? Imagine the voice that the disciples would have had in verse 10. Verse 10, the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? Jesus, seriously, we've heard you. Back in the Sermon on the Mount, it was great. You've got some really deep stuff to say. And yeah, we're out in the countryside and we know this is a society of farmers, but you're a carpenter and they didn't come here for a mediocre farming conference. Why are you telling them these stories? Come on, Jesus, play to your strengths. Do some more miracles. Look, they're heading off. There's only a few of us left. But that's the point. Jesus' story didn't end with verse 8. It ended with verse 9. Whoever has ears, let them hear. It ends with a kind of cliffhanger, an appeal for people to listen. And he's saying, if you're willing to listen, then come close and listen carefully. But the crowds disappear, don't they? They'd come for the miracles. They'd come for the magic show. They'd come for the useful stuff that Jesus could give them. But when it becomes clear that Jesus is just wanting to talk, they head off. And we get a division. A division between those willing to get to know Jesus and those who are not. And the extraordinary thing is, it's deliberate. Jesus wants to create a division. And you've got to see this to believe it, haven't you? The disciples ask him the question, verse 10, why do you speak to the people in parables? And verse 11, what does Jesus say? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Now imagine, I hope slightly, that you're starting to feel uncomfortable. Jesus is supposed to be inclusive. But here he's creating a division between you, who've been given secret knowledge, and them who have not. But it gets worse, doesn't it, actually? Jesus divides between the haves and the have-nots, verse 12. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Well, that's the first point in your booklets. Why did Jesus speak to them in parables? To divide the haves from the have-nots. Okay, so parables, far from being inclusive, simple stories, are actually deliberately divisive, deliberately unclear. And it seems shockingly unfair, but before we get upset, we need to work out exactly what it is that divides. Yes, there's a division between the haves and the have-nots, but what is the thing they have? It's certainly not money or social status. We know that Jesus came for the poorest of the poor and for the rich, and they're all there in his followers. The 12 was made up from people from the poorest to the richest. No, the thing you either have or don't have is the desire to respond to Jesus' appeal to listen. In verse 9, whoever has ears, let them hear. It's that desire to listen to Jesus, the desire to know Jesus, the desire for a friendship, a deep relationship with Jesus. And of course it makes sense, doesn't it? Because all human relationships are founded on words. Animals can have very limited relationships with each other. I mean, they probably can. They can snuggle up to each other and make some grunting noises. But that's about where it stops. But human beings are made in the image of the God who speaks, the God who spoke creation into being, and the God who became a man in the person of the Lord Jesus, the Word, as John calls him. And Jesus makes it clear that his words matter more than anyone else's. And so the division is based on the desire to listen to him or not. So why did Jesus speak in parables? To divide the haves and the have-nots, and to draw in those who have the desire to know him personally. Let me explain it in another way. There's a little picture on the screen of some automatic doors. This isn't my idea. Someone explained it to me like this, and it's really helpful. Parables are a little bit like automatic doors. If you come close to automatic doors with the aim of coming in, you can walk confidently forward and they open for you and draw you in. And you get the experience of all the blessings inside the Lidl that you want to go to. But if you... Is Fulham Waitrose? I find Lidl much more exciting. But if you just seem interested from a distance, then they remain closed. And what's inside remains a secret to you. A secret you never get to experience. Verse 11. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, you who come close and listen, but not to them who stay at a distance. And if you come close, then far better than entering Lidl or Waitrose, you get drawn into the deep treasures of a family relationship with the God you were made to know. That's the deeper reason that Jesus spoke in parables, and that's our second point on your sheets. To create a new family. To create a new family. Just look back to the beginning of what was read to us. Chapter 12, verse 46, at the top of your sheets. Jesus' mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. And someone told him, your mother and brothers, they're standing outside wanting to speak to you, Jesus. But he replied to them, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And pointing to his disciples, his followers, those sitting around him, listening to him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus is creating a new family of those who do the will of my Father in heaven. And I suppose at the end of chapter 12, the question is, well, what is his will? And chapter 13 is all about, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. Come and listen. Jesus makes it clear that the Father's will is that we come close and listen to Jesus. And if we do that, we become his brothers and sisters and mothers. It's striking that the word mothers is in there, isn't it? Because we often use, across the world, people use the terminology of brothers, oh, they were all brothers. But actually, when you talk about your mother, you mean a really, really close relationship. Everyone's really close to their mother. And so to his followers, Jesus says, you are part of the kingdom, part of the family, because you know me, the King, through my words. As with any relationship, in the kingdom, our relationship with Jesus will grow and deepen as we get to know him better through his word speaking to us. And so verse 12 says, whoever has, as in whoever listens, will be given more and will have in abundance. And the ultimate fulfillment of that is in the new creation, heaven itself, when we will see him face to face and the relationship will be perfect and his word will be written on our hearts in a deeper way, and we can see him and talk to him and ask all the questions that we've been longing to, and he'll wipe every tear from our eye. But if you have no real desire to listen to Jesus, well, he says, you're not in the kingdom. And if you have no real desire for Jesus to be your king and to show you the best, the most beautiful way to live under his good and loving rule, well, then he will one day just give you what you ask for. And ultimately, the little that you have will be taken away as you're separated from God and all that is good for all eternity. Whoever does not have, Jesus says, even what they have will be taken from them. And so, a little bit like automatic doors, parables both draw people in, but also stand closed in judgment against those who stand back and won't listen. It's the judgment Jesus describes when he quotes from Isaiah. Do you see verse 13? This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. It's extraordinary, isn't it? Jesus seems to be saying his parables are deliberately unclear. Deliberately cryptic. Jesus speaks in parables so that some of his listeners will not see and will not hear or understand. But you see, he says that their blind and deaf condition is self-inflicted. Just look on at verse 15. And they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. The offer is there. Jesus' appeal to listen and come close and know him and enjoy life to the full with him, it couldn't be clearer. But if we don't respond to his call, the doors remain closed. But if we do come in and listen to Jesus, then something wonderful happens. Did you see that in verse 16? But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. That word blessed, it's slightly annoying. If you wanted something to do on a normal Saturday afternoon, you could go through your whole Bible and you could cross out the word blessed and you could put the word happy. That word blessed, it's not just a religious bless you, my child. It means profoundly, deeply, richly happy. And that's our last point, to give us long-awaited happiness. It's like we've entered a mansion full of treasure and been told, all this is yours. But it's not stuff. It's real, vibrant relationship with the God we were always designed to know and love and be loved by. Jesus is the King, God on earth. And he offers meaning and purpose and direction in your life, if only you'll let him. By listening to him, he makes sense of the really hard stuff such that you can praise him through it. This is true happiness. But it's not new. It's long awaited. And so as we get to the end of the passage, I just want us to dig a little bit deeper and ask, why does Jesus call his teaching on the kingdom secrets in verse 11? Initially, I thought there was a sense of intimacy there, and I don't think that's wrong. Because with a secret, you have to know someone well for them to share it with you. I like that idea, but I've heard a much better explanation when someone much cleverer than me told me that the original Greek word that's translated secrets is mysterion, It doesn't take a lot of education to work out what that might be in English. Mysteries. You see, the word mystery picks up on a major theme throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament, of how the mystery of God's rescue plan is unfolding. And Jesus refers to this as the mysteries of the kingdom, because if you know anything about the Old Testament and Old Testament prophecy, we're told a whole load of things about God's rescue plan that will involve the Messiah, the anointed king who's going to come, God's chosen king. But we're not just told about the Messiah, we're also told that the rescue will be brought about by a great high priest who can bring people into the presence of God through sacrifices. And we're told about a suffering servant and a sacrificial substitute and the eternal divine Lord and Judge. And the question is, how does all this come together? And it's only with the coming of Jesus that we get to see how all this can be fulfilled in one man, the God-man. In Jesus, we see the mysteries of the kingdom revealed and explained. Jesus makes that even clearer in verse 17. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. The Old Testament prophets and people of God longed to see the fulfillment that we see come together in Jesus, the Messiah King. Jesus is saying that he makes sense of the whole Bible. Until he came, the first half of the Bible, the Old Testament, was still full of mystery. How is this going to be fulfilled? How is God going to rescue his people? But now, by getting to know Jesus, the whole Bible comes alive. We are immensely privileged. You see verse 16? But blessed, happy are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Now, of course, as we come to this, there's no room for pride, just huge gratitude. We're told, verse 12, that the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you. You didn't earn it. Jesus didn't think you were better people. And so we've got no reason for pride as we want to talk about this amazing message. Instead, we should be praying for others, that God would open their eyes by his Spirit. But also we should be praying for ourselves, that we wouldn't end up calling Jesus a liar when he says, happy are your eyes and your ears. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it. And so as we come to a tough passage in the Bible, you know, you're reading through chapter by chapter, aren't you? Quite a lot of you together in the Bible, and you'll come to bits that you're just like, oh, that's a bit weird and obscure. And you're thinking, oh, there's a boring bit of the Bible. Well, hoping there's be a better bit next time. Mm. Instead, think, hang on a minute. What did Jesus say at the end of a really boring story about agriculture? Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And so you start praying, Lord, please show me why this really boring, tedious bit is in the Bible. And as he does that, your eyes start to open and your ears start to open. And you think, wow, I've got happy eyes and happy ears. So kind of you, God, to give me this bit that I thought was boring. But actually, when I fit it into the whole puzzle of Scripture, it helps me love Jesus more and to know him better. So we need to give Jesus time and to listen to him carefully so that we can really know him as he speaks to us in his word. He will explain things to us if we let him, just as he's about to explain this parable to those who came close and asked him, what does it mean? Verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. But that's for the next session. Hopefully you're a little bit excited to find out the answer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you make sense of the stuff that we often think is confusing. Thank you that you encourage us to ask questions, not to throw our brains away and to think we just need to blindly accept everything. We pray that we wouldn't be those who, when we hear your words, nod and smile and walk away and say, oh, that was nice. But we'd be those who, when we hear your words, are excited about going deeper and deeper and deeper into it. And not just hearing, but really listening. And not just listening, but putting it into practice and asking you to come close and to walk with us by your Holy Spirit. Give us a deeper daily experience so that we would see that our eyes are blessed and our ears are blessed, and that our experience of coming to your word would be like those prophets and righteous people of old who longed to see what we get to see and to hear what we get to hear. We praise you in your precious name. Amen.